an L.L. Bean bag. William Barr.
I'd do anything for you, dear. Anything for you mean everything to me.
Barr has thrown the job of Attorney General out the window to be Trump's personal defender.
I know that I'd go anywhere for your smile. Anywhere for your smile. Everywhere I'd see.
When you came into this job, I mean, you had a good reputation on the right and on the left. Mm-hmm. You're now someone who is, you know, accused of protecting the president, enabling the president, lying to Congress.
I'm at the end of my career. I've, you know...
It's a reputation that you've worked your whole life on, though.
Yeah, but everyone dies.
Would you climb a hill?
Anything.
Wear a daffodil?
Anything.
Leave me all your will?
Anything.
Even fight my bill?
What fisticuffs?
Obviously, Don McGahn, Bill Barr have both defied your subpoenas. I see that there's going to be a vote on Tuesday for contempt, it appears, for both of those individuals. How do you see where things stand vis-a-vis the kind of obstruction of Congress that the executive has doubled down on?
Well, I think there's no question that all the members of the committee and all the members of the Democratic caucus believe that it's critical that we have the ability to get witnesses and get documents that we need to conduct our investigations. If we allow the executive branch to simply deny us witnesses or deny documents, the executive branch will be allowed to extinguish congressional oversight. That cannot happen. People cannot defy lawfully issued subpoenas. So we're really running on two tracks. We'll begin these hearings, a series of hearings before the Judiciary Committee. At the same time, we will move forward on contempt proceedings to compel the attendance of witnesses and the production of documents. That's what the vote will be next week, that will authorize a civil enforcement action.
I'd risk everything for one kiss. Everything, yes, I'd do anything.
Anything.
Anything for you.
In 2017, the president repeatedly told aides such as Gary Cohn and Rob Porter and John Kelly to try to block the AT&T Time Warner merger. They didn't listen. His tweet today in which he suggested a boycott as part of a long campaign to punish a network whose coverage he hates. Am I wrong, or that in and of itself opens up the possibility of impeachment? Like, using the antitrust powers of the executive to punish bad coverage.
I do anything
for you, dear.
For
you mean?
For you mean everything to me.
The guy tries to commit massive abuses of power and fails in doing so because so many people around him are like, just wait the guy out. You can't trust him.
I know that I'd go anywhere for your smile. Anywhere for your smile. Everywhere I'd see.
Justin Amash is going after Bill Barr and the way, according to his tweets, this Republican congressman who has already set himself aside from his colleagues on the issue of the Mueller report, saying, after receiving the Mueller report, Barr wrote and released a letter on March 24th describing Barr's own decision not to indict the president for obstruction of justice. That letter selectively quotes and summarizes points in Mueller's report in misleading ways.
Would you rob the shop?
Anything.
Would you risk the drop?
Anything.
Do your eyes go pop?
Anything.
Oh, when you come down plop.
I'd everything risk. I'm willing to keep you in the swing. Yes, we do. Anything.
Anything.
Anything for you.
Today, the White House again instructing former West Wing aides to give Democrats nothing, at least about their time working in the White House. Hope Hicks, the former communications director, and Annie Donaldson, the former chief of staff to White House counsel Don McGahn, faced morning subpoena deadlines to turn over documents connected to their time working for the administration. Both were witnesses in the special counsel investigation, and both key players in the special counsel laid out potential examples of obstructing justice by the president.
Donald Trump a racist.
Have you ever seen him say or do anything that you would describe as racist or bigoted?
So the answer is no, absolutely not. You can't not be a racist for 69 years, then run for president and be a racist.
He's right. You don't just become a racist at 69 years old. But Trump was 67 when he called all Mexicans murderers and rapists, 43 when he campaigned for death sentences for the Central Park Five, and a boyish 27 when the DOJ sued him and his father for racist housing policies. So no, someone who isn't racist for 69 years might not turn into a racist, but someone who's already been a racist for 69 years can really perfect it. Come on.
Was birtherism racist?
Look, I wasn't really involved in that.
I know you weren't. Mm-hmm. Was it racist?
Like I said, I wasn't involved in that.
I know you weren't. Mm-hmm. Was it racist?
Look, I know who the president is, and I have not seen anything in him that is racist. So again, I was not involved in that.
Did you wish he didn't do that?
Like I said, I was not involved in that. That was a long time ago.
Swan also asked Jared about his better half, Saudi Prince Mohammed bin Salman, seen here still super getting away with that murder he did.
How many conversations have you had with Mohammed bin Salman about the murder of Jamal Khashoggi?
Yeah, again, the discussions I have with, whether it's, you know, individual Palestinians or with world leaders or with other people, I keep those discussions to myself. Shut the door.
What do you think Donald Trump will be known for in 50 or 100 years' time?
I think the first thing is changing the type of people who are in Washington. What this president did is he represented an outsider who came in, brought in a ton of people who never would have been in Washington before, who are not qualified by conventional standards.
Kushner would not say whether he would inform the FBI about future interference efforts by the Russians.
But, would you call the FBI if it happened again?
I don't know. It's hard to do hypotheticals. The whole world is out there just trying to score. I've seen enough, I
don't want to see any more cover me. So much worse than Watergate. He's an unindicted co-conspirator in an illegal hush money scheme. The other guy's already in jail. Robert Mueller stood up last week and said if I could say he hadn't committed crimes, I would. There were 10 incidents of obstructive conduct that were investigated. All the evidence is in the Mueller report. Witnesses like Chris Christie and Corey Lewandowski don't have a leg to stand on if they're called before Congress. Come on. Has defied a subpoena. Annie Donaldson defied a subpoena. Bill Barr is going to be held in contempt of Congress, as is Don McGahn.
To finally see the transcript of that phone call between Michael Flynn, when he's the incoming national security advisor during the transition, and Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak. Flynn first got in trouble, you might remember, for lying to FBI agents about this very conversation. He pleaded guilty to lying about it. So everyone's always want to know, what the heck do they talk about? But despite the judge's direct order, we do not have that transcript. The government, the Department of Justice, is ignoring the judge, declining to release it.
President's also pushing back hard against reports that the White House instructed the Navy to hide the USS John McCain from his view when he was in Japan last weekend. Reportedly, the White House asked that the USS McCain, which is a warship, be hidden because it might upset President Baby Hands. And they even gave the sailors who wear the USS John McCain cap the day off. Now, Trump claims he didn't know anything about this, and I actually believe him for once. But that's the thing. Even his staff is so abundantly aware of the fact that he's insane, they had to move a warship named after an American hero and tell the sailors who work on it to hit the road because they were worried that if he saw it, the ship would hit the fan.
I have no idea if it happened or not. I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Over there, send the word over there, that the
The craziest story in the world tonight is in London, where the president of the United States today was performing the political equivalent of Looney Tunes. Trump started by saying he got out of going to Vietnam because, as he said, quote, nobody ever heard of the country. A claim that may be at the top of his all-time list, given the fact that when he grabbed his bone spur draft dodge in 1968, the Vietnam War was listed by the American people at the time as the country's number one problem in the Gallup poll.
You were not able to serve in Vietnam because of the bone spur condition in your feet. Do you wish you'd been able to serve? Would you like to have served your country?
Well, I was never a fan of that war, I'll be honest with you. I thought it was a terrible war. I thought it was very far away. Nobody ever, you know, you're talking about Vietnam, and at that time, nobody ever heard of the country. Today,
would you like to have served generally, perhaps in another?
I would not have minded that at all. I would have been honored, but I think I'd make up for it right now. I look, $700 billion I gave last year, and then this year, $716 billion. And I think I'm making up for it rapidly because we're rebuilding our military at a level that it's never seen before.
Mr. Trump will not stay overnight in Buckingham Palace. He will not ride in an open carriage, as other state visitors have done. And he will not be allowed to address Britain's Parliament.
In an interview on Saturday with the British tabloid The Sun, Trump was asked about the Duchess of Sussex, Meghan Markle, and he said this.
She said she'd move to Canada if you got elected. Turned out she moved to Britain.
Well, that would be good. There are a lot of people moving here. So what can I say? No, I didn't know that she was nasty.
When the outrage started over there about what he said, Trump immediately tweeted a sincere and heartfelt lie.
I never called Meghan Markle nasty, made up by the fake news media, and they got caught cold. Will CNN, New York Times, and others apologize? Doubt it.
No, I didn't know that she was nasty.
The president praising the queen.
A great, great woman.
But possibly breaking royal protocol when appearing to touch her back as she stood up.
When he put his hand on the back of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, you just don't touch the queen.
British protesters are taking to the streets to make Trump feel unwelcome in the UK.
As you hold talks with the current prime minister,
the leader of Her Majesty's opposition, has been addressing a protest rally against your visit in Trafalgar Square.
As far as the protests, I have to tell you, even coming over today, there were thousands of people cheering. And then I heard that there were protests. I said, where are the protests? I don't see any protests. I did see a small protest today when I came, very small. So a lot of it is fake news.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Trump is adorable, man. Come on, huh? Because, like, he doesn't go with one excuse. He gives you all of them, and you can pick which one you like best, huh?
He's like, the people were cheering. I see no protest. I saw a small protest, but it was a fake protest, and I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
Do you agree with your ambassador that the entire economy needs to be on the table in a future trade talk, a trade deal, including the NHS?
I think we're going to have a great trade deal, yes. I think we're going to have a great and very comprehensive trade deal.
With the NHS. With the NHS.
I can't hear him.
What? It's the National Health Service. He says, should the National Health Service be on the table?
Look, I think everything with a trade deal is on the table. When you're dealing in trade, everything's on the table. So NHS or anything else, or a lot more than that. But everything will be on the table, absolutely.
Okay, obviously Trump has no clue what they're talking about. And he's doing a good job of hiding it. It's just like, look, everything's on the table. NHS, NHL, DTF, all on the table. It's all there, on the table.
There's no collusion, no collusion, no collusion,
no collusion,
no collusion,
no collusion,
no collusion,
no collusion.
There's no collusion,
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 no obstruction. Whoa, whoa,
a horror show.
Whoa, whoa,
I don't think so.
Whoa, whoa,
Mueller's probe, scum on top, and they had to be stopped.
Whoa, whoa,
a horror show.
Whoa, whoa,
I don't think so.
Whoa, whoa.
Mueller's probe, it was for justice now with votes. Call me the CIA or somebody.
Came from me.
That could be a little dicey. Everybody lives the den of thieves, but they were nasty.
No loyalty.
Flippers. Criminal acts.
Hold you back.
13 angry Democrats.
The media never covers that.
If I say enemy of the people, it's called flipping, and it ought to be illegal.
Crazy. Our president is crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. Our president is crazy.
A total phony.
Crazy. Our president is crazy.
Separating the families.
Crazy, our president is crazy.
It's not easy.
No, nope, 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 nope,
no collusion.
Is no,
nope, nope, nope,
no collusion.
Nope, nope, nope,
nope,
nope,
no collusion.
Is no,
nope,
nope, no obstruction.
Nope, nope, nope,
nope, no collusion.
Is no,
nope, nope,
no collusion.
Nope, nope,
nope,
nope,
no collusion.
Is no,
nope,
no
obstruction.
I know all about flipping. Robert Mueller's got nothing. I know all about flipping. I'm like a ship, just keep going.
The Pfizer report, go after Manafort.
I would like to talk.
Never show up to court.
I tweeted.
There was nobody to collude with.
Flip on whoever the next highest one is. I didn't want to.
Fake news.
I didn't want to.
No collusion. There is no collusion.
There was no
obstruction.
There was no collusion.
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 There was no collusion.
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 No obstruction.
Methinks the right honourable lady doth screech too much.
Well, they're not calling them impeachment proceedings, but the House Judiciary Committee will hold the first in a series of hearings on what its announcement refers to as, quote, presidential obstruction and other crimes. House Judiciary is, of course, the committee responsible for starting the impeachment process, should they choose to do so. And at least half the Democratic members of that committee are now on the record calling for just that.
You think that the president will be impeached?
Yes, exactly what I feel. I think we've already begun it.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
We are back. We are back. Big Vern, Slay Diddy, Ray, a.k.a. the Grand Finale. J-Mac is in the building. Cupid Rocks.
Here.
Damn. We had a hell of a conversation right there. Mm-hmm. Let me get the clap out, man, because we ended it, but we didn't end it, but we ended it. Mm-hmm. Ray, I know you got to breathe in a few minutes.
Yes, sir.
So, but we do have a special guest, and this is my elk brother in the building. And He was trying to get here last week, but we decided that, you know what, Flag Day is this week, so it's better for him to come on this Wednesday because it'll keep everything fresh in everybody's head for Flag Day. Skip is a former ER, and Skip is a fire guy. I mean, Skip is one of the coolest white guys I know. He's a cool white guy.
And he like supreme, illustrious, perception.
Well,
of
he
the,
former.
The grand,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Skip, what's up, man?
How you doing?
I'm always good, man. Even when I'm bad, I'm going to tell you I'm good. So don't either you believe me or you don't.
Right.
Skip, Flag Day. Let's talk about it.
All right. This is our 23rd year.
23rd?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
23rd.
23rd.
Wow.
Myself, I am the vice president and also the parade committee chairman of the event.
Mm-hmm.
There is many, many hours. As you know, Christine is our president.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who's also a elk person.
Yeah.
We took this event over about 3 years ago. They were going to give it up, and me and Christine stepped up and said we want to take it over because it's something really good for the community.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want to have the community suffer.
So I want to ask you this question, Skip. I want to ask you about participation because, like, a lot of things that go on, and we were having this conversation about the black community, so I just want to tie all this in. One of the things that we have – and it's changed throughout the years, was the Black Festival. It changed to the Cultural Arts Festival. But I think one of the problems is that people volunteering to help make this happen. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of people have a lot to say when it happens, but not there to help it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys go through the same thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
We have a committee of 10. That's about it. And I'm telling you from June, when we get done with this parade on Saturday, from June 9th until next year, June, we'll be working on next year's parade. It doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same 10 people.
Wow. And I knew that answer. But I just wanted to bring it to the forefront that this is a universal problem.
It really is.
It is. But yeah. the one thing that I will say is that these guys know how to just put it behind them and make it successful keep it moving. Because, listen, every Flag Day that I've been through has been successful.
Exactly, yeah.
Every single one.
And if there were issues, I didn't see them.
I didn't see them.
Or hear of them.
We actually, this year, last year was the biggest parade we had for Flag Day in probably the last 5 years.
Wow. Mm.
This year exceeds it. We're bigger this year than we were last year.
That's what's up.
Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah. Let me give you a clap for that, Skip. And I'm not marching this year either, so. I marched last year. I marched. Yeah, well, Ray, you know Ray B.
You know he was going to pass it on me.
You know Ray B. chatting.
Pass it on me.
You know Ray B. chatting.
You knew he was going to pass it on me, Skip.
So, Skip, tell us about some of the things, because one of the things I saw on one of the community boards or something, and you know me, I'm just honest, and this is radio. I saw people complaining about, you know, the rides, they cost too much and this and that. But I also know that you guys are out on the regular with the buckets and trying to collect money to, you know, maybe knock off some of the prices of things that have to go on.
Well, everybody thinks that this parade is put on by the City of Hudson or the Hudson Elks Lodge. It is no longer put on by them. The City of Hudson has not been affiliated with the parade. They are a big help for us. I mean, actually, they give us our permits and everything we need to run the parade. But this parade is done by 10 volunteers.
So, wait, we got to stop there. We got to stop there. So, why was there a point where the City of Hudson was involved and then they backed out? Like, what happened?
No, originally, this Hudson Flag Day was put on by the Hudson Elks Lodge, was the original. And then at one point, City of Hudson was involved back years and years ago, and then the Hudson Elks Lodge took over, and then the Hudson Elks Lodge gave it up, so we took it over as just a committee, and now it is called the Hudson Flag Day Parade.
Okay. So 10 people. So you guys are out there, you're raising this money. So tell us what we have in store.
Well, actually, like I said, the parade this year is bigger than it was. We have 74 units in our parade this year.
Wow.
Nice. Which is the biggest parade it's been in a long, long time. We have a special event this year, special thing in the parade this year. It's called the train. It's an actual train. It holds 27 passengers. Oh. And what we're doing with that this year is any military veteran that wants to be in the parade, will be able to ride on that train for nothing.
Oh, man.
Oh, oh, okay,
hold,
Pop.
Hold on. Now. I got to give you a clap for that. That's dope. Continue.
We also have some military participants this year. We got the United States National Guard coming in this year. We've got some Humvees coming in this year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of military. All of our Grand Marshals this year are military veterans.
Okay.
Awesome. Our first military veteran actually on Saturday just received the Bronze Star of Valor.
Okay. Wow.
From Vietnam.
Congrats to him.
Congrats.
And so that's big for us. We have a lot of participants from the city of Hudson, a lot of new marchers this year. And I'll just throw out a few for you. Skylar Court Kids, Feed the Bellies.
Okay.
They're one for us. In Flight.
In Flight, yeah.
Catskill Equation Center. Sweats Exercise. We got, I don't know, 15 or 16 new marchers in the parade this year.
Okay.
So that's really big for us. Down at our waterfront, we are bigger than we have ever been at our waterfront. We have 22 vendors at our waterfront this year.
Oh, man, let me give you a clap for that. I'm going to clap that up. That's good.
We have also have some vendors up in the park this year. Not as many, but a lot of them wanted to be down at the waterfront because that's where everything breaks up and that's where everything stops. You know, so everybody wanted to be down there. We have entertainment up in the park this year. Dusk Till Dawn will be in the park from 10 to 11 and then again from 12 to 2 because the Elks Club has their ceremony from 11 to 12 in the park.
Okay.
And then after the parade, after the award ceremony and everything, we have DJ Terry Johnson will be playing from 12 to 5:30.
Okay.
5:30. And then after that, after the award ceremony from 6 to 9 will be Sideshow Willie.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a band, right?
Really, really good band.
Yep.
They've been there 3 or 4 years that we've hired them at. And then after that, of course, is our big, spectacular fireworks show.
Fireworks.
For the train that, for the military veterans, it can be anyone that says, hey, I want to do
anybody
it?
Anybody that's been a veteran, right. Military veteran.
Okay, Nani, tell Poppy and see if he wants to be on the train because he is a Vietnam vet.
I am really proud of that portion because myself being a United States Army veteran, my father's actually going to ride on that train
in
the parade.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Nani, tell him, see if he wants to do it.
Yeah. That is dope. Talk about the rides. You got the rides down there.
We got the rides.
Kids love them rides, man.
I have not been down there yet to look at the rides. Christine has, but I guess there's a couple new rides down there this year.
Mm-hmm.
I know we did bring in one thing. We bought in a inflatable slide.
Yep.
Oh, good.
Yep.
That we're bringing in. So that's going to be for the kids. And also something about the train. Before the parade, I believe it's from 10 to 1, they're giving kids rides around a certain part of the city on the train.
That's what's up.
Awesome. For a small fee.
I got it. I got to give you a clap for that, man. That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Now, my last question for you is, what do you need from the community for this to be even more successful next year? Because, you know, people are talking about like, yeah, I'll be there.
Right.
Yeah, I'll help. But what do you actually need? Obviously, you need more than 10 people. But what do you need?
Just for people to support us, come out, give us a hand. We ask anybody that wants to be on the committee. We don't shun anybody away. This is a community. It's not an individual committee. So we will accept anybody that wants to help. And we've got some experience on the committee. Myself, Christine, Tommy Haig. We've all been on the committee for many, many years.
Holly Tanner's on that committee too, right?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, shout out to Holly.
Holly Tanner.
Yep.
Yes, she is. She's a big help for us, just like anybody else on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
We just ask for support from our community. We don't do this, and everybody doesn't realize that we don't make any money on this.
Right.
This is all donated right back to the community. We make no profit on this parade whatsoever.
And so it's going to take a community to make this even better. Yeah. But
absolutely. We're trying to make it even better and better for our 25th. We at least want to keep it going and have the biggest celebration the city of Hudson has ever had on the 25th of Flag Day.
You guys got any questions for Skip?
No, not at all. Just I was going to ask about the fireworks.
Yeah, yeah, but fireworks.
The fireworks are the best.
Yeah, best.
We try to make them bigger and bigger every year, better and better every
year. What
time
are the fireworks starting?
Usually dusk. About 9:15, 9:30. Yeah. That's usually about what time. There's many, many vendors down there, all kinds of food down there. We got a lot of new vendors down there. We got a fish truck down there this year. We got a lot of new food down there this year. So please, please come down and support the Hudson Flag Day. It's not for us. It's for our veterans that fought for us to be here.
Yes.
All right, man.
And I will be down there with my uncle. He's having a little tent, S&M rental, bounce rentals.
Oh, okay.
Yep, yep.
That's
He'll be down there.
Yep, yep. That's what's up.
And I'll be down there too, so come through.
Yeah, I'll be through there. You know, I'm not a friend of the sun. It's supposed to be 80, so I'm gonna be in and out. I know you guys are probably like, why does Vern have long sleeves on? And like, cause I didn't have no sunblock, so I was like,
right, no, yeah,
put these sleeves.
You need
on.
That SPF.
Yeah, yeah. They need to make like a 150. J-Man.
Oh,
you only make. You know what be making me real mad is that it only lasts for 80 minutes. So think about it. 80 minutes is nothing.
It really isn't.
And then you got to go back and put it back on, and that be messing with my pride. Right. And then I get burnt. And then,
right.
Now my name is Aloe Jones.
Right.
All right, never mind. Skip, any shout-outs before we go to a topic?
No, I'm pretty good. I just want to say, please, when you see our veterans come down the street, please give them a round of applause.
Oh, yeah.
They're the reason why we're here.
Yeah. Yes, and Nani, ask Poppy if he would like to do that.
Much respect. You wanted to hang out with us, Skip?
Sure, I'll hang out for a little bit.
I mean, if you got to go, you got to go. But I got the two ladies here. We're going to talk some talk, man. Let me give
basically,
you a clap.
He's saying he's going to be backup.
Uh-oh. No. No, Q, because I've had Skip on the show for backup,
okay.
And he always went on the other side.
Oh, okay.
So.
Go. Right now, are we on the air, Lady Skip,
yes,
now?
Yes,
I'm sorry. Hey, yo. What's the move?
Crow T Robot from Mystery Science Theater 3000 here on 90.7 WGXC. What's the C stand for? Crow, I'm pretty sure. Yep. Maybe not.
Come on up and testify. Come on up and testify.
Tune in and turn out for a live broadcast, 5 to 7 p.m., Thursday, June 13th. During WGXC's Testify Pledge Drive from Prospect at Scribner's Catskill Lodge in Hunter. You can become a standing supporter at the door or increase your current monthly donation, and your first drink is on Scribner's. Beer and wine purchases during the event benefit Wavefarms WGXC 90.7 FM and the Testify Pledge Drive. Turn out, take in the view, check out this exceptionally designed and appointed spot at the Prospect at Scribner's Catskill Lodge in Hunter, and raise a glass for radio for open ears. Attendees are asked to make a sliding scale contribution, $5 to $10, or become sustaining supporters at the door. That's 5 to 7 p.m., Thursday, June 13th, at Scribner's Catskill Lodge in Hunter.
I'm going to see if I can get one of my friends to come up here and testify for me. I'm talking about Raymond. I'm talking about Raymond. Genius. Come on and testify, son. Go ahead, son. Go ahead.
Tune in on Friday, June 28th at 8 p.m. for the Colin Karaoke Show, featuring musical guest, You, hosted by me, Charles Hyler. Get your vocal cords warmed up and get ready to call in for the Karaoke Colin Show, Friday, June 28th at 8 p.m., right here on WGXC.
WGXC Underwriting Support is provided by Velo Domestique Bicycle Shop. Professional bicycle services at 437 Route 295 in Chatham. Information at www.velodomestique.com or 518-392-3010.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Curtin family of Tivoli, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
When They See Us, Ava DuVernay's powerful reexamination of the Central Park jogger case,
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. It's been more than 30 years since a rape and attempted murder occurred in New York City that became known as the Central Park Jogger case. The crime itself was indescribably vicious. The miscarriage of justice that followed, with five African-American and Latino boys who became known as the Central Park Five framed for the crime and sent to prison, remains a blot on the criminal justice system. The five boys spent years behind bars, losing their youth in the process. Eventually, their convictions were vacated after the actual perpetrator confessed in jail. His confession was supported by irrefutable DNA evidence. When the teens were first arrested, Donald Trump, then a New York real estate developer, actively campaigned for the death penalty for the young defendants, taking out full-page ads in all of New York City's major newspapers. To this day, ignoring all evidence, President Trump maintains they're guilty. These injustices have been poignantly captured in a damning four-part Netflix miniseries called When They See Us, directed and co-written by Academy Award-nominated filmmaker Ava DuVernay. With this vivid and dramatic work, DuVernay starkly portrays systemic racism that remains all too familiar today. Ava DuVernay's telling of the tale focuses on the boys and their experiences. On the night of April 19, 1989, Tricia Melle, a white investment banker in her late 20s, went for a jog in Central Park. She was brutally attacked, raped, and left for dead. Later that night, the New York Police Department arrested the five teens, interrogated them for hours upon hours without parents or lawyers present, and eventually charged them with the crime. The five teens were Yusuf Salam, Kevin Richardson, Antron McCray, Raymond Santana, and Corey Wise. Only two of them knew each other at the time of their arrest. As Ava DuVernay told us on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
They are not the Central Park Five. I came to feel that that was a political moniker. It was something that was given to them by the press. It was something that was given to them by the prosecution. It was something that allowed them to be seen as a gang, as a wolf pack, and not as Yusuf, Corey, Kevin, Antron, and Raymond. You know, real people, real boys with real families, memories, hopes, dreams that were dashed the day that they were captured out of the park.
Ava DuVernay spends significant time depicting how intensely the five boys were pressured by police to obtain coerced confessions.
This is about the criminal justice system, and each part of the series, or the four-part film as I call it, is designed to take you deeper and deeper to make you further acquainted with different aspects of the system as it stands today.
Linda Fairstein was head of the Sex Crimes Unit at the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. She's perhaps most known as the best-selling author of crime novels. In When They See Us, Fairstein, played by Felicity Huffman, is shown directing the coercion and attempting to block any due process for the powerless youths. After the series premiered on May 31st, students at Vassar College, Fairstein's alma mater, organized a petition drive that forced her to resign from the college's board of trustees. While Fairstein was in charge of coercing confessions, the real rapist, Matias Reyes, was still on the loose. He had beaten and begun raping a woman in Central Park on April 17th, 2 days before Melly's assault. That first victim gave the NYPD a description of him, saying he had stitches in his chin. A local hospital then gave the police the name Matias Reyes as someone who fit that description. The police never followed up on the lead. After the five boys were arrested, Reyes would go on to beat and rape five women, murdering one of them, Lourdes Gonzalez, a pregnant mother of three. I lived in the same building where Matias Reyes was eventually captured. My neighbor, his last rape victim, ran down the stairs screaming as he fled. The building doorman tackled him and held him until police arrived. Reyes confessed to several of his crimes, including the murder. Had Fairstein and the NYPD investigated the crimes in which Reyes had repeated his M.O. again and again, rather than racially profiling and framing the five teens, perhaps those rapes and the murder of that young mother might have been prevented. Corey Wise, the oldest of the five, was tried as an adult. After spending over 11 years in prison, during which he was repeatedly beaten and brutalized in prison after prison, he met fellow prisoner Matias Reyes.
Race confessed he'd raped Trisha Melle and that he had acted alone. Wise served his time, nevertheless, as the others had as well, and was released. A New York State Supreme Court judge vacated all their convictions. The five sued New York City and won a settlement of $41 million. Ava DuVernay's When They See Us is essential viewing. As she says,
the system's not broken. The system was built this way.
I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
You're listening to Wireless Reconnaissance, Broadcast Surveillance, Transmission Art, and more Saturdays on WGXC 90.7 FM Creative Community Radio.
All right, we are live, interrupting the six organs of admittance on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM, listening to the weather through Zach Pop's pond station, hydrophones in the Wave Farm pond. That's microphones for underwater, and we've also got a microphone up top listening to the birds. And we've also got Quintron's Weather Warlock, which turns the changes in precipitation, the changes in sunlight, the changes in wind, and the changes in temperature into sound. Right now it's 71 degrees Fahrenheit, if that's your flavor here in Acre, 22 degrees Celsius, and the birds are singing because it's going to be just a lovely weekend. Maybe it'll get to 80 tomorrow. But the skies are as blue as they could be. Bluer than blue. Stay tuned in a few minutes. These frequencies turn into a radio wonderland as Joshua Freed remixes New York City radio and Hudson Valley frequencies. Then at 11 a.m., Garth Payne will be making waves with us on the Making Waves show. Tune in today at 4 p.m., Wave Farm Artist in Residence, Kathy Kennedy is here live. Play back the sounds she's been making all week with radios on the Wave Farm property. And it's 7 p.m. tonight. That's right, it's time for the entire, the full, the complete, the redacted, the report on the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. That's right, the Mueller report on the radio tonight at 7 p.m. all night, overnight, the Mueller report. On the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. I don't know if you can hear that, folks. But the sound of a radio wonderland is creeping into our signal from afar. It's getting closer. It almost seems like it's a minute away.